Hello.
Hey, this is Lee. And
I'm Thomas.
There's Thomas. This is Ancient and New. We're going to start our episode a little different today. This is not going to be my main content for the episode, Thomas, but I want to read something from Psalm 46. Let's see. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And I just want to say that in a day where we are in the a day after the aftermath of yet another mass shooting in a school in the United States, where 7 people are dead, 3 of those people being 9-year-old children, that I'm thankful that the glory of the future of our God and where what his heart is and where he's going to take our existence is to a place where not only does he break the bow and shatter the spear and melt the shield, but he breaks AR-15s and he shatters handguns and he melts riot shields. And I feel disgusted and I feel angry and I feel confused and I feel weepy and I'm hurting for my friends in the city of Nashville and for the people that they love and their families. And as soon as we hit stop on this episode, Thomas is going to get in his truck and go pick up Jude from his school. And a little while after that, I'm going to go to the middle school and pick up my son from his school. And there are some people today who don't get to go pick up their kids from school. And it's disgusting. And if some people would be honest and just, it is an easy problem to fix. If there wasn't so much self-interest, if there wasn't so much greed, and if there wasn't so much fear, and if there was more courage, it would be an easy fix. And so I'm thankful for a day when the bows and the spears and the shields and the ARs will all be broken and melted and done away with. And so this is not the normal temperature of the Ancient New podcast, but I didn't feel like it would be appropriate to start it in any other way today.
I agree with you. I felt sad today. And it's becoming all too normal for this feeling and emotion and conversation. It's becoming all too normal to see hashtags on Twitter and have people I'm gonna write to, and I don't know what else to do besides write letters and call people, because I have a kid, and I haven't had a kid for long, and he's in a school now. And
it changes everything. One of our dearest friends, has a niece who literally goes to school at Covenant in Nashville, mm-hmm. and her niece is okay. And she said, you know, that, her teacher, they practice active shooting drills, so they knew what to do, and thankfully they were unaffected. And the fact that that sentence can exist in the world in a civilized society is so maddening and so unbelievable. And greed and cowardice make it so that a sentence like that is possible. Thankfully, 9-year-old students do active shooter drills. That somehow that's a sentence that can be spoken. And we're not all stopping everything and making sure that that can never be spoken again. It's just completely and totally insane. But this is Ancient and New, and we are going to share some scriptures with you other than that beautiful scripture in Psalm 46. Do you have a place that you can take us to?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Psalm 68, I believe.
Right on. Psalm 68. You would think that it would be really easy for me to get there, but
Did you go too far?
Well, I flipped to where I was going to go in the scriptures because I was in Psalm 46. I should be able to just go to the right a little bit, but no. Now I'm here.
Here you are.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah, I'm just going to read one verse. Verse 19.
Right on.
This just happened to me the other day where I was reading the psalm, and this little part just made me stop for a minute and do a thing, so I'm going to share that. Praise be to the Lord, the God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Okay, so I think every once in a while it's important for me to reset and rethink of things, because sometimes things get lost or forgotten, even the most simple things.
Yeah.
So I know that's like, well, cool. But what I mean by that is, like, when I was reading this verse the other day, it was the part about daily bearing our burdens, and the fact that it was so time specific. It'd been really cool if this verse said, praise be the Lord, the God, our Savior, who bears our burdens.
Yeah.
That would've been really cool.
Yeah.
The fact that the psalmist who wrote this, I don't remember if it was Asaph or David. It was David. David included the word daily. Daily bears our burdens. Mm. And it just felt like a splash of water in my face of like, oh yeah, like there isn't a time limit or there isn't an allotment of prayers I'm allowed or of confessions or pleas or cry. There's not a like, well, you've done that for the week, or you know, like,
or like you have to save up, like, which one am I gonna take to the Lord?
Yeah. It just,
I only get so much.
Yeah, it would have been really cool if he would have said, you know, who bears our burdens. It would have been really cool if he, there's so many ways he could have said it, but the fact that it was so specific as daily, like if I'm struggling with a thing today and then I wake up tomorrow and I'm struggling with it again, I can keep going with him, going to him about it. If something feels heavy, it's cool that the word burden was used there because it transported me to a couple different places. One where Jesus is talking about how his yoke is easy, and just thinking about how the trade-off of that. It took me to another place where Paul, I guess it's in 2 Corinthians, is talking about how when he is weak, he is strong, which I just think that's such a cool, usage of wording that Paul uses there. And then is it Peter who talks about casting his cares?
Yes.
Yeah, so the idea of literally just like throwing them like a fishing line onto the Lord and saying like, here, take them. And just all of those things. And then being reminded here 1,000 years earlier, you can do that every day. It's not a, taken his yoke upon you for the month. So you had your chance and you blew it. Or
Do you remember before cell phone data plans had like unlimited data? It was like you would sometimes have to like look at your data plan to feel like,
yeah,
ooh, like I better like pare back.
So that was,
it's not, the data's not going to recoup right till like the 19th of the month.
When I got my first iPhone 4, my data was unlimited.
Okay.
And then they were like, well, we realized that was a little too generous, so you have 10 gigs between your family. Oh. And that was when I got like an iPhone 7, and I was just toast. I was like, well, done with that. And then now it's back to unlimited, and right, I just don't, you know, I don't think about it. But yeah, it's really cool. It gets unlimited. So like, yeah, like when Paul says, I delight in hardships and difficulty and in persecution and famine, I just am like, wow, yeah, like when those things are happening on a daily basis, the Lord will take them, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, like this verse made me think of a couple things. One, it's not required if you are walking with God that you have to have it together certain days. Mm-hmm. You get to fall apart every day if you need to, because he will daily daily bear your burdens. The other thing it made me think of is like, think about things that you do every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's certain things that like you, Thomas, only do like once or twice a year. Like you only get mulch like twice a year,
mm-hmm.
and you only cultivate muscadines when you move into a new house, and you only prune your muscadines maybe a couple times a year. Not everybody has muscadines. That's a particularly Thomas thing. You only, like, I only wash my bird feeder out every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But every day I brush my teeth.
Yeah.
If you're Thomas, you brush your teeth like 5 times a day.
It's like 3. My rule is if I come into my house and I have to go back out, I will not leave the house without brushing my teeth.
Like, I take a shower every day. If you're Thomas, you take like 3 a day.
That's changed. I have dialed back on that a little bit.
Ever since you got married, you just shower less.
Well.
Yeah. So like there's certain things you do every day. And when you think about like, it's like, yeah, there are certain things I have to do. Like I make coffee for our house every single day. I take a shower every day. I brush my teeth every day. There's just, I feed the dog every day. Mm. Like these are things I do every single day. And to think about it from the Lord's perspective, that he would look at me and say, hey, why do you insist on thinking that you have to be amazing? One of my daily duties is to take what you can't handle and carry it for you.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's what I had.
You're just in the middle of a yawn. Yeah. I'm feeling really sleepy today too.
I wish you could physically take my sleepiness and trade that out. That would
be so sweet.
Yeah,
we can pray for that.
Oh, please.
He answered a really direct prayer for you last night. Really direct.
Yes, he did.
And I was kind of picking on you about it, but then you were like, why don't you just pray about it with me? And so I did. And then he answered it.
And I walked over to you and was like,
yeah, you gave me a little eyebrow raise. Yeah,
eyebrow raise of gratitude.
Acts chapter 12, and I'm just going to read a little bit of this. Basically, there was a actually some of this makes sense that King Herod, he was persecuting some people in this new fledgling church that. Church in Jerusalem is starting up. A lot of people are coming to know Jesus. The church is growing and it's causing a problem for, you know, the Jewish leading council in Jerusalem. They're making noise to King Herod about it. Herod was a guy that the Roman government kind of put over the region. Like, hey, you're in charge. And so this is your little territory or whatever. Well, they, at a certain point, they killed one of Jesus's disciples, James. And when they did that, the religious leaders in Jerusalem, like, they loved it. Like, the powerful, wealthy people were like, yeah. And as soon as he saw their reaction, then he was like, oh. And topically, sometimes politicians see that people that are wealthy and powerful like how they handle certain things, so they do those things more instead of doing what's right. And so as a result of that, he grabbed more apostles and threw them in prison. And the idea was, I'm going to keep doing this because this is winning me points with the rich and powerful people that are in charge. So, this is Acts chapter 12. Okay. So, this happened during the festival of unleavened bread. Verse 4 says, after arresting him, he proceeded to seize Peter also. So after killing James and finding out how much people liked it, he arrested Peter. Verse 4 says, after arresting him, Peter, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains. Not that 2 chains, like a different 2 chains. Bound with 2 chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Okay, so here's why I want to talk about this. One of the things I love about the book of Acts is that the book of Acts always rattles the dust off my my tendency to let wonder fall asleep in my heart about following Jesus. It's easy for me in my personality or my life experience or whatever to let some of the wonder of the mystery and the amazement of a life with Jesus. It's easy for the wonder to fall asleep. And if that's happening, just read the book of Acts. Like, the book of Acts is amazing. All the stuff that happens is amazing. But what I was particularly thinking was, like, there are moments in your life where you feel trapped in such a deep way that, like, this is not, I have no way out of this. And I think about what was happening to Peter, and it was like, he had no way out. Four squads of four soldiers. And then watched like that throughout the Passover festival. And the day after Passover, we're going to bring you out, put you on trial, and probably execute you like we did James. The night before that happens, you're literally sandwiched in between two guards. You have chains on your wrists and chains on your feet. There is no way out. You're not getting out of this. You cannot change this situation. And I've never been in that situation, but I've definitely been in situations where it, like, I look at my life and I'm like, I have no way out of this. I can't do anything. And for me, for you, for our dear listeners, like, and I say listeners by faith. I mean, I don't know if we have plural listeners anymore to this podcast. And Thomas shook his head no.
I don't think so. I've been thinking about it. I'm like, I think we're all that's left. I really do. I think it's you and me, man. And we don't listen.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although I did get a really sweet message from Clark the other day.
And then
we got a really funny message from Clark. But that was very specifically hilarious. But I don't know what your situation is in your life where you're like, I don't have a way out of this. Metaphorically or whatever else, I'm sitting in the dark between two soldiers. They're trained. They have a mission. I'm not. I have chains on my wrists and chains on my feet. I can't do anything about my situation. And in the middle of the night, an angel shows up. And, like, I guess the angel, like, used his angel powers to just, like, put the guards to sleep. Like, they do not participate in the scene in any way.
No.
And they don't know what happened.
Right.
The chains fall off of Peter. The guards are, like, magically asleep. And it's like the Muffliato
I was going to say the Orb of Confusion from SpongeBob. Do you know that one?
I don't know if I know the Orb of Confusion.
Great one.
So the chains fall off. Peter gets to leave. And then this is great. All the things that were trapping him, if you just keep reading through the rest of chapter 12, here are a couple things that happen. When Herod finds out, he brings the guards in for questioning. They have no idea what happened. Mm-hmm. He has them executed. Then Herod goes off into a different region to give a speech. He gives a speech. Everybody thinks the speech is so amazing. And because you're like, well, dang, Herod's still such a dangerous person. He's getting a lot of political points and credit for killing off Jesus' apostles. This is not a good situation, even though Peter got out. So he goes off to this other region to give a speech. Everybody praises him because they're like, that's the greatest speech we've ever heard. And instead of giving any credit to anything but him, he's just like, yeah, I know. And he dies. And the Lord's like, no, we're not doing that. And he dies. Yeah. And so by the time you finish chapter 12, not only is Peter free, but everything that was causing him problems is eliminated.
Yeah.
The chains fall off by themselves. The guards are dead. And the guy that threw him in prison is dead.
Wow.
And it's like, I don't know what your situation is, and I don't know how long it's going to take, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to continue to nourish and farm and cultivate in my heart a faith in a God who could literally show up in the middle of the night and get me out of any trouble I'm having.
That's cool. Yeah, there's a Young Life Club talk that our friend Tyler Roberts gave. It had to be 6 or 7 years ago now that I've never forgotten. That it was about John chapter 8, and the woman caught in adultery, and they drag her out in front of Jesus and say, you know, the law says we do this. What do you say? AKA, we're either going to stone her and you're the bad guy, or we're not going to stone her and then you're not listening to the law. So, and then Jesus pulls out door number three that no one thought of.
God, the door so number three cool. Just like, so great. Yes.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's, that thing is that I've ridden that wave for a long time. Just, you know, a talk made for high schoolers that I was like, wow, it's so true. And here's a great example of it. You know, Peter, who is in the situation he's in. I don't know. I mean, I don't know his emotional state during this, but it's so cool because the Lord did what he was going to do. And I don't think Peter would have predicted it coming, which is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, right before we hit record today, which, you know, Thomas is one of the people in my life that he knows basically everything about my life at all times. And so he, you know, he knows about just some particular difficulties that we've been faced with in the past little while or whatever. And today, right before we hit record, like, I got a phone call that like changed, like dramatically, potentially is changing one of the difficult things that we're facing. Hmm. And it was amazing. I just didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Didn't know that the Lord was going to show up in that way. And I know that for some people listening, like you feel like I'm Peter and I'm still sitting in that jail cell and it's still dark at night and I still don't know what the way out is. And I know how that feels too. And so I don't want to promise you that everything, like magically everything's going to be all right. Hmm. I guess what I'm saying is it has been an encouragement to me to turn to the scriptures this week and see yet again that even when I don't know of a way out, I have a walk with and a relationship with and a faith in a God who at any moment can completely and totally eliminate the problem that has me totally confounded.
Yeah. It's cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you. To the one or two folks that are out there listening to this, we're grateful for you.
Yeah.
We're thankful. And to the folks in Nashville, I don't want to say the words, thoughts, and prayers. Obviously, we are praying, and obviously, you are on our hearts. But I want to add to that, we're going to write letters to our senators, and we're going to bug people that are in power. And they may not listen to us, but we're going to do it because we love you, and it's wrong.
Yeah.
What happened to you this week is wrong, and it's a shame that we live in a society like this. And and I'm super thankful that we walk with a God who is going to eliminate weapons from the world.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm Luke.
I'm Thomas.
It's been Ancient Me.